Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, also known as Forkfest, as I like to call it, because, realistically, the Porcupine Freedom Festival is something going on down there, and I still have not yet made my way down there to it. Have you, Angie?
I have. I have been down there a couple of times. I've been on a couple of talks. I was on the Meet the Regions and the Monadnock region.
Yeah,
I was able to plug Free Talk Live a handful of times in our region and all of the stuff we do there.
Okay, awesome. Have you been down there to just, you know, enjoy the festivities or whatever is going on?
I have not gone to any of the other talks. I did volunteer some just to registration, and there are a ton of people. They said we were about 85% capacity right now at Rogers.
Wow, already.
Which is really good, and that was yesterday, which was Wednesday.
Okay, yeah, and definitely there are more people showing up every minute, just vehicles going by. There's significantly more people walking around today than there even were yesterday.
Yeah, and yesterday definitely looked like a Saturday.
It's ramping up considerably. It's going to be an enormous festival.
And a lot of people are saying, you know, after the Pork Fest ends for Fork Fest, which is phenomenal.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've met quite a few that are like, yeah, I'm staying. I can't wait. I'm not leaving. They won't stay the whole time.
Sure.
But they'll be here, you know, the first few days during it.
Okay. Well, that's good news, because I've been going around looking at these, you know, they put orange stickers on the back windows of their vehicles. And I haven't seen that many that are staying beyond, like, June the 28th or June the 29th. So it's good to hear that people are planning to stay for, you know,
maybe the
cool kids after party.
Yeah, maybe the ones that are staying are the ones that are just kind of landing when they get here.
That's
riding up
point.
With somebody, or they're getting a ride, and they're just kind of staying, and they have nothing else that they want to go do because they want to stay here and party with us.
Awesome. Well, Forkfest is not at capacity as far as I know, and you're still invited to join us. It's June the 28th through July the 4th, and I'm looking forward to it because Forkfest always has a very different vibe when it's just Forkfest versus the Porcupine Freedom Festival is a lot more family-friendly than Forkfest is.
It is. That's a good way to put it.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, each event has their space, and this is something for me to consider because I've been looking around thinking, is there really any point in continuing to have Forkfest happen after the Porcupine Freedom Festival when they could just happen concurrently?
Well, I think there is, and I believe there is because, you know, people like to not be told what to do. They don't want somebody saying, hey, you have to have a bracelet. Hey, you have to have a ticket. You can't go to these bathrooms because you're not VIP or anything like that. And at Forkfest, you just kind of come and you get to be you and you get to do exactly what makes you happy.
That's very true. I mean, that's the whole reason that Forkfest was born, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's partially because, you know, they banned Ian Freeman and therefore Free Talk Live. But that only lasted for like a year. But there was still an almost oppressive vibe during the Porcupine Freedom Festival because they had the entire campground reserved. And you had to jump through all of these hoops. You had to buy a ticket for the Porcupine Freedom Festival to even be at the campground while it was happening.
And they were, you know, they had some issues with a poker game a couple of years ago, and they tried to kick people off, and then they and then they let them back on. It was all because of a sign that was a religious base. It was something about why do you believe or something like that, and someone was upset about it, and so they kicked them off at like 2:00 in the morning, and they let them come back on, but they could only stay on their site. They couldn't go off of their site.
Wow, I had not heard about that.
Yep.
But, I mean, that was the old Porcupine Freedom Festival. It has changed significantly. But there used to be pork rangers.
There are still pork rangers.
Yeah, but, you know, they were perpetually in the way in the past. I mean, just constantly driving up and down, patrolling like police.
And in your business.
And they acted like police
officers. Someone told me that we should cop block the pork rangers this year.
They were cop blocked at one point. At the very first Forkfest or Somalia Fest, however you want to characterize it, that I was ever at. It was still taking place prior to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It was like a 3-day event at that point.
Yep.
Just sort of people who arrived early to have a good time. It was a pre-party back then, and now it's an after-party. But it was Davy Barker who ran off with several others to go cop block the pork rangers.
And how did that go? Do you have any idea?
I don't know because, you know, it was my first night here. I had never even been to New Hampshire at that point, much less to the Porcupine Freedom Festival or Forkfest. I had no idea who any of these people were or what was going on. And then suddenly, like, we're going cop blocking, and off they go. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
And I think it was 2 years ago, the last time that the Porcupine Freedom Festival was really the oppressive regime that it was, I was hanging out in my hotel room. This was the last time that Fork Fest took place prior to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, actually. I was hanging out at my hotel room, and whoever it was who was in charge of the Pork Rangers that year was expressing frustration to someone else about how she had, quote, no jurisdiction to tell anyone what they could and couldn't do because it was still Fork Fest.
Oh.
And Porcupine Freedom Festival hadn't started. I mean, just hearing this, quote, libertarian express frustration about not having jurisdiction.
Control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And control.
When someone gets just a little bit of, you know, authority, it goes to their head and they're like, oh, I can do and say whatever I like because I'm in control.
And attendance was way down that year.
Yes, it was.
And it was way down the year before. And now, with the Porcupine Freedom Festival being open and essentially just being something that happens down there at Rogers Campground, attendance is at 85% capacity.
Already.
It also helps that, you know, Free Talk Live is back. And it's neat how that happened. I don't know to what extent Free Talk Live is actually responsible for it, but when they kicked Free Talk Live off of, you know, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, attendance plummeted.
Yeah.
And then once we were allowed back, attendance started climbing again.
Imagine that.
Now, correlation doesn't necessarily equal causation, but it's not a bad thing for us to be able to point out.
I have noticed that there are a lot of people who have shown up for someone named Dave Smith.
Dave Smith.
Who does a podcast, or he's some kind of libertarian comedian.
Okay.
And there are a lot of first-timers that I deal cards, and I'll say, well, you know, where'd you hear about it? And they're like, Dave Smith, and I have no idea who that is.
He's the libertarian comedian.
Okay.
He's not Canadian.
Okay.
Thank
you for pointing that out.
Yeah, he is. I thought you said he's a Canadian.
That's no, he's a libertarian.
Oh, comedian.
Comedian, yeah. No.
Every inch of him a New Yorker.
I was like, all right,
please. Every last bit of him, as much as we would like him to come to the Free State, he is every bit of him a New Yorker.
He will not come. But
yeah,
his show is today, right?
So, yeah, he's been part of this whole, this Mises Caucus takeover of the Libertarian Party, which, I mean, basically a bunch of actual libertarians got tired of the Libertarian Party being not libertarian.
Okay.
So
that hasn't really been my understanding of it. I realize that's how they're painting it, but I was part of the Mises Caucus when they first formed, and it took about 2 weeks for me to disassociate from them.
Why did you disassociate?
Because they're about as close to alt-right as one can be without actually being alt-right.
Okay.
A lot of people like to call them racist and things like that. I don't think they're racist, but they're very conservative socially.
Okay.
And that, to me, conflicts spiritually with the idea of libertarianism, which should be socially liberal, in my opinion.
Makes sense.
They painted themselves as being, you know, all about the economic right and focus entirely on economics, but these are the Hoppian libertarians. They're all about being able to forcefully remove elements of society that they don't like.
Well, from one's own personal property. I mean, if your neighbor's dog is pooping on your lawn, you can remove the dog from your lawn. I mean, you
sure.
mix your labor with that bit of nature, and if something's on it that you don't want on it, you are allowed to move it from that.
I understand that, but in a world where the state currently exists and we have a Libertarian Party attempting to, you know, take control of the state, I would rather that not be the libertarians who are advocates of physical removal who become the ones to seize the state's power. I would rather it be ones who are against physical removal. Because with the worldview that we're in, the state is ultimately the controller of all property. If they control the state, then they control all property. If they want to get rid of the gay people, oh, well, it's our property. We're the government now.
Let's remove them.
Well, but they're personal property advocates. So, I mean, there would be there would be no state property under a Mises leadership if that were even possible.
So it would just all be personal property.
Well, then why are they seeking power?
Why are they seeking power? Well,
the same reason everyone else seeks power, to use it.
No. I mean, honestly, if there was a chance that he would actually become the president of the United States, there's no chance Dave Smith would run. None. No,
I'm not saying Dave Smith in particular, I'm talking about the Mises Caucus in general. Why do they exist and why are they seeking power?
Well, as far as why they exist, I think the most important part of why they exist is for messaging. Because I mean,
well, that's doable outside of the party apparatus.
Oh, sure.
I mean, we've been doing that at Free Talk Live for the better part of two decades.
The biggest libertarian movements have always been when there's a focal point of politics, like Ron Paul, for example.
Yeah, and Ron Paul has some pretty severe problems, like allowing people to perpetually write things in his name that he may or may not endorse. More coming up from ForkFest 2021. This is Free Talk Live.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live from ForkFest 5, 2021, here at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. I look forward to this festival every year. Every year, as soon as it ends, I'm like, yes, let's do it again. And then I spend the entirety of the next 50 weeks looking forward to it. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's It's a great place to be.
It always amazes me when people are like, wow, you're staying for the whole 2 weeks? And I'm like, I'd stay for the whole 52 weeks if we could have a free market that long.
Yeah, it is nice. It's frustrating for me. You mentioned the free market. Obviously, there's a lot of USD being spent here. I'm restricted primarily to using USD. I can also use goldbacks.
God, that's got to sting.
It is awful,
man.
Wait, they
let you use goldbacks?
Well, they can't stop me from using goldbacks.
All right. Okay. Yeah, no, that would be a brutal legal battle that they would lose. Like, that one's actually written in on, like, literally every level of government that you're allowed to do that, so...
But what I'm not allowed to do is use cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. which is frustrating because almost every vendor here, I'm told, accepts cryptocurrency. I was told previously that there wasn't a very high acceptance level because people were a little gun-shy based on the fact that, you know, some of crypto's biggest advocates were just, you know, arrested by the mm-hmm. FBI, and others are AWOL. But from what I've seen and heard since, there are plenty of vendors here accepting cryptocurrency.
Oh, definitely.
But it doesn't do me any good because I'm limited to USD and goldbacks.
Yep.
And if you're wondering what we're talking about, check out Bitcoin.com. It's got everything you need to learn about cryptocurrency, including the basics. There's several short videos there if you just want to learn what is Bitcoin, how does it work, what is this technology. It's world-changing, and you should know about it by this point. And if you do already know about it, check out the news articles at news.bitcoin.com. There's something for everyone, all on a sleek and easy-to-use website, Bitcoin.com. It's the best place to learn about cryptocurrency. Now, before we got into that, we were discussing a question that I've always found interesting. You know, why do libertarians run for office?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I've run for office, sure. And to me, it's sort of a conundrum. We want to put people in power so that they...
To remove power, yes.
Yes, to remove power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure to what extent I really trust a lot of libertarians to do that, because every revolutionary has said, hey, we're going to seize power so that we can bring power to the people, or so that we can free the people, or mm-hmm. have a socialist utopia, or whatever, and it doesn't ever work out that way.
Well, I think one of the things that that is very different from those that have seized power to give it to the people is that their philosophy is bonkers. I mean,
sure.
It simply does not hold together. And, like, dude, libertarians are autistic in our desire for consistency. No, this must hold together, which leads to some weird places conversationally, because, like, if they say a thing and you go, well, what about this? They'll stick to it. And
I don't think there's anything autistic about desiring consistency out of a philosophy. And Mark, just the whole time he's been here, he repeatedly referred to libertarians as, you know, just screeching autists. Like, look, not all libertarians are autistic. In fact, the vast majority of libertarians I know are not autistic.
Yeah, I'm not meaning that as
I know, but
a medical
every freaking libertarian just beats that dead horse of autistic libertarians. And can we just stop doing it?
Well, no. So in this context, it refers to a sort of extreme detail-oriented. Like, you are willing and even desirous to get deep down into the weeds of a particular subject, far beyond what most people are usually willing to go to.
Well, that's just fascinating. I mean, we don't call biologists autistic because they're deeply fascinated by biology, or marine biologists autistic because they're deeply fascinated by marine biology, or physicists.
Do you have a better term for when you are willing to get way too into the particular details of and deep into the weeds on a very specific tiny thing for most people's taste?
Autistic is not the word I would use, certainly. Detail-oriented interested in a particular subject, perhaps.
So you don't like the thing, but you don't have anything to replace it. Well, why don't you go back to the left, then?
Well, autistic is a mental diagnosis that a lot of people actually, you know, suffer from, or a behavioral diagnosis.
So when I call someone a psycho, I'm not usually saying that they are literally a psychopath, but I'm saying that there are traits that we associate with that are on display.
Well, see, when I call someone a psychopath, I mean that they're a psychopath. They lack empathy for other human beings. I don't generally call people psychopaths unless they exhibit psychopathic characteristics, and I don't call people autistic unless they are autistic. Well, being libertarian isn't really enough to warrant being called autistic.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it's literal versus figurative. So figurative autism doesn't actually have anything to do with any kind of diagnosis of being on the spectrum. But it does have to do with a tendency toward a detail oriented in a single tiny subject.
Yeah, okay, I guess what I object to then is the use of autism as some sort of insult or demeaning way of describing people who are fixated on or who are fascinated by a particular subject. Knowing people who are autistic, I mean, that is legitimately, you might as well just call people retards if you're going to equate fascination with a subject as being autism.
Well, and it's not just fascination with a subject, but like, so, for example, autistic savants will have a tendency to have a particular thing that they are extremely knowledgeable about, but that knowledge doesn't really spread over to other areas.
Sure.
And it's a reference to that.
Well, that's specialization. Like, a biochemist would be great at biochemistry,
okay, so
but I wouldn't expect them to know much about astronomy.
So maybe hyper-specialized might be a better term then. And there also is the implication of poor social skills.
Yes, libertarians do tend to have poor social skills. I'll definitely give you that. When they tend to operate on a very cold, emotionless basis in their worldview, which is fascinating to me because there's nothing cold or unemotional about the Austrian economics that, you know, built much of modern libertarian philosophy. It's all about the individual's desires and choices.
Mm-hmm.
And libertarianism is all about the individual's desires and choices, hence why we prefer the free market over, you know, closed markets like we have with governments.
Mm-hmm.
And here at ForkFest, you do have the closest thing that you can get to a free market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. I mean, you can barter. I managed to acquire silver yesterday, and could spend it anywhere here. I imagine this is about anywhere here.
Just about, yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing.
It really is.
And if you don't like gold, you don't like silver, you don't like cryptocurrency, I don't know what to tell you. Every vendor here will accept Federal Reserve notes, war dollars, if
sure.
you insist on paying in that. But why would you when you have a number of alternatives available that don't, you know, fund the war machine? But back to the question, There are maybe five libertarians I would trust to actually be elected to a position of power and fulfill their promise to either defuse that power or to just not exercise that power.
Mm.
The vast majority of them, I think, would get a taste of it and would enjoy it and would fall into the status mentality of, oh, no, I don't want to give this up. This is too good. I can make the world better.
Yeah, Karen Ann Harlow was talking yesterday or the day before, and that was one of the things she pointed out, is that what she's seen is that when people get into a position in the Libertarian Party, like, after, like, 3 years tops, like, they start to go nuts. And like, the power actually gets to them, and they start, you know, getting a big head about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, just like the market, we need churn.
Yeah. And power corrupts, and the market is the best way of decentralizing that and opening things up for competition and for change and steady, robust growth. More coming up from ForkFest 2021. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At least one person is dead, and first responders continue to conduct search and rescue missions after part of a condominium collapsed in Surfside, Florida, early Thursday morning. Dozens of Miami-Dade fire rescue units are on the scene trying to find survivors. Abigail Crosby, a visitor from Virginia, was staying at a resort next door when the condo collapsed.
My reaction was panic mode. I just threw the phone down and raced to pick up my aunt's kids and try to get them out.
That audio courtesy of NBC News. At least 99 people remain unaccounted for. Gas prices are expected to remain above $3 a gallon for most of the summer. That's according to Gas GasBuddy.com, which is also reporting the national average for a gallon of gasoline, is expected to be $3.11 during the 4th of July holiday. USA Radio News. Vice President Harris is set to visit El Paso, Texas on Friday so she can get a look at the illegal immigrant surge at the border. Texas Democrat Congressman Henry Cuellar tells Fox News he's happy that the vice president is taking action and going down to the border.
Glad that she's going down to the border because that is part of her job portfolio, number one. And number two, the epicenter is down there in the lower Rio Grande, the lower part of my district down there.
Republicans argue that the vice president should have visited the border a long time ago. Rudy Giuliani's New York law license was suspended by a court that concluded he made false statements in an effort to reverse the 2020 election results. The suspension is pending the outcome of a hearing where Giuliani's lawyers will have the opportunity to challenge the allegations. More news always can be found online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live here at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. There's still time if you want to come check out Fork Fest. It is lasting until July the 4th, and you are definitely invited. There's no tickets. All you have to do is show up and get your camping site, RV site, or motel room. You can find out more at forkfest.party. We're here until then. With you from Rogers Campground today, it's Aria.
And Beagles Mountaineer.
And we've been talking about libertarians in general. And, you know, the news broke yesterday. John McAfee is dead.
Oh, man.
And
you know, a drug-fueled existence can't last forever.
Well, not when you... He made it to, like, what, 74, 75 years old?
Yeah.
He's an old dude to be doing that much cocaine.
Yes. Yes, he is.
But, hey, Ozzy made it, and he's probably done a bit more cocaine than even John McAfee.
That's probably true.
So, John McAfee was being held...
It must be the batheads, you know. It has a synthetic emergence of drug power.
And if not that, then hookers. Definitely hookers.
Could be the hookers.
So he was being held in a Spanish jail awaiting extradition to the United States, and the Spanish court ruled to extradite him.
Mm.
He was then found dead in his cell. Now, this raises a lot of questions because McAfee has been posting all over the internet about how he would never kill himself, right?
Mm. Which so, I believe. That man loves living.
Well, but do you love living enough to be 70-something years old and spending the rest of your life in prison? To me, what's the point of life at that point? So I don't know if he killed himself or not, but I do know that John McAfee is the type of guy who would spend months saying he wasn't going to kill himself just so that he could later kill himself and create all manner of crazy conspiracy theories about whether or not he actually killed himself. Because John McAfee is that special type of lunatic.
He was a wacky dude.
He was.
Yeah, I loved him to death.
He had
this weird combination of complete bat-ass insanity and at the same time coherent philosophy that he would, like, he'll put the coherent philosophy down on the website and it's like, oh, well, that's brilliant and simple. And then you hear him talk and it's like, oh, wow.
And then next thing you know, he's talking about having sex with whales. And it all makes sense if you understand John McAfee. Like, yep, that's John McAfee. Always crazy. I don't think he killed himself, though. I don't think he's even dead. I think he faked his own death to avoid having to eat a certain part of his body on national television. That's my conspiracy theory. He's really alive, but
you know,
he doesn't want to do that.
I appreciate that perspective, and that is now part of my worldview. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime. So,
and honestly, I mean, he had the resources to at least have a good shot at pulling something like that off.
He does. I mean, he at one point said on Twitter, I think, that the U.S. government took everything from him. And that's probably true, but did they get his cryptocurrency?
Yeah, that's my thought. It's like, dude,
and he's John McAfee. Seriously. Whatever they took from him, he could earn back.
Right.
Because he's done that repeatedly over the course of his life. Where he came back to the United States broke with like $20 to his name.
Yeah, I mean, that guy made himself rich back when you couldn't just like, oh, well, I'm going to buy some Bitcoin now and wait a year and a half, and oh, look, it doubled. Like, he was able to make himself fabulously wealthy before you could do crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, so I can't imagine how wealthy he really was or how much of it the U.S. government actually seized, but ultimately, his death, assuming he is dead, and, you know, I'm joking when I say he faked his own death. He is probably dead, and he probably did kill himself, and he probably did spend months saying he wouldn't kill himself just so that people would then speculate after his death that he was actually killed by the U.S. government because he's freaking John McAfee, and he's crazy.
I'm honestly keeping open the window that he might just show up, honestly. Like
he certainly faked his own arrest once just to see if the media would spread the story, and they did. So maybe he faked his own death just to see if the media would spread the story. I don't think that's the case. But it's hard to know with the giant question mark and just general confusion that is John McAfee the person.
So
who the hell knows?
So how officially did he die? Like, what is their
There's been no investigation
story?
Yet. Huh. And, of course, if there is an investigation, it will be, the prison guards investigating or the prison investigating his death. But,
and was he, in fact, missing a part of his anatomy and he just finally fulfilled the bet?
Well, it's speculated that he hung himself.
Mm.
And, you know, much like Epstein did not.
Mm-hmm.
As John McAfee would have said. Who knows, though? I mean, it sucks, because I do believe he's dead, and, you know, we lost a wonderful human being and a truly special, unique person.
And a spectacular entertainer.
He is, but also shady.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to, you know, idolize him after his death, but I will never forget receiving messages from John McAfee attempting to shill some sort of scam coin to me.
Hmm.
And as I asked questions about it, I'm like, hey, this doesn't even sound legitimate.
Hmm.
None of this sounds right. Who owns the private keys here? And he was like, I'm just trying to help you make money. Okay, I get that, but you're asking me for money in the process. He ended up blocking me as a result of my questioning him about this.
How dare you ask me questions about my scam coin?
So he was certainly a shady guy, but, you know, even then, he could have earned back whatever the U.S. government took for him simply by agreeing to shill more of these scam coins, because there are plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, here's $25,000. Tweet about us. Talk about us. He was certainly willing to do it.
Yeah. And when you have that well-known of a name, especially in a pertinent circle like libertarianism when it comes to cryptocurrency, yeah, you can turn that into some quick cash.
I was really hoping he was going to run for president in 2020 and then in 2024, but, you know, that's... That's not the world that we live in, and now he's dead, and that sucks. Cryptocurrency lost a powerful advocate.
Hey, I wouldn't put it past him, honestly. For all we know,
let's run John McAfee for 2024. Let's do it.
I'm telling you, and for all I know, he like has some pre-recorded message that will suddenly get released to announce his run for presidency, whether he's alive or not.
I know in 2020 or 2019, before he messaged me about that crypto nonsense that turned out to be, you know, a scam coin. He was messaging me. He wanted people to walk around wearing essentially iPads in front of their faces so that he could interact with people on the streets. And he was just, you were going to be the robot walking around for him so that he could communicate with people directly because he couldn't be in the United States. And I was like, it's just bizarre. The most McAfee thing I'd ever heard, right?
I can think of an amount of money that I'd be willing to like carry around an iPad for you.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't willing to do it because that's just not how I do things, but a truly, truly unique individual, that there is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And an excellent advocate for liberty, despite being really new to the Libertarian Party. Was it 2016 that he ran? Or 2012?
I'm not sure.
I don't recall either, but whatever year it was that he ran, it was against Gary Johnson and... that Peterson dude, the irrelevant Republican, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I think that would have been 2016.
And I wasn't even going to watch the presidential debates among the libertarians because I was like, they're libertarians. What could they possibly disagree about?
Really? Like, oh, come on. Watching libertarian debates is great.
Yes,
what's next? A license for my own damn toaster?
Yes, but I didn't know that then, right? I was like, they're just going to apply the non-aggression principle to every issue, and then there's nothing to really debate about. I went in.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That's what I expected. I went in supporting Gary Johnson, not knowing that much about him. And within 10 minutes of hearing him talk, I was like, nope, I am not supporting this guy. Mm-hmm. And Austin Peterson was just as bad in different directions. Then you had John McAfee there, who was just consistently applying the non-aggression principle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yep, that's my guy right there. And, yep. Of course, I was a tech person, so I already knew who John McAfee was and, you know, followed him. And then he started talking about having sex with Wells, and I was like, yep, that's my president. that crazy one over there? Not the one with the boot on his head. The next one. The other crazy one. The one doing bath salts. That's my president. Oh, man. It could have been such an amazing world if McAfee had won in 2016. And everyone's like, no, we need Gary Johnson because he's going to be the most presentable. And I'm like...
And that's why I am super jazzed about the takeover of the Libertarian Party so that they don't run bloody Gary Johnsons and stuff anymore.
They should have. In a world where the two most senile people in the United States ran against each other for president, the Libertarians are the crazy ones for not putting the guy with the boot on his head as their nominee.
Oh, yeah.
More coming up from Forkfest. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com, and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Longevity. Teamgaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live from the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire at Rogers Campground. You've got to get down here and join us. It's a beautiful day. The wind is blowing through. There's nowhere else on earth that is a better place to be. They're surrounded by something like 2,000-ish other libertarians is what I'm expecting so far. And it's only Thursday. Yeah. You know, Friday and Saturday are going to be insanely busy. Oh, we're at 85% capacity right now. And I know that they have sold enough tickets to where they're not even selling day passes for Saturday. Because it's Rogers Campground itself is at capacity as of Saturday. So it's going to be interesting to see that many libertarians all congregating in a single place. And lots of awesome, interesting people to talk to, such as Connor here, who is of the AmericansForFairTreatment.org. Now, can you tell me about this? Your sign over there talks about public sector unions. Can you describe what that is to me?
Correct, yeah. So what we do at Americans for Fair Treatment is we help public sector employees, current and former, move from a place of union dependence to a place of union independence. So that can take a lot of forms, but what we are really passionate about is the constitutional rights of all these individuals who are unfortunately violated on a regular basis by public sector unions. So teachers unions, any other union that represents government employees.
So police unions, teacher unions, all of those sorts of things.
Absolutely.
They're exploiting the members of their unions, essentially?
Yeah, you know, there are so many different situations that come up, and sometimes it's as simple as, hey, I want to leave the union, and the union won't let me leave. And other times it's as complicated as people have been siphoning money out of the union pot, right? Taking all this money from teachers, from firefighters, from nurses, and spending it on things like themselves or politics, both of which really get people worked up for very good reason, right? Money's coming out of your paycheck. You want to have a say in what happens with that.
And with these public sector unions, they often don't. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been part of a union. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how they really function, except that, you know, there's probably a fair bit of underhandedness going on in there with how funds are being used and all of that. I know that companies in general don't like it when their employees unionize, but, you know, mm-hmm. they realistically can't stop it. So,
yeah, I've been generally pro-union, but like everything else, the government tends to get involved and muck it up.
Yep. I mean, it's unfortunate, right? I mean, I think what we'd say is we deal specifically with public sector unions, which mm-hmm. adds a couple additional wrinkles.
Yeah, I always thought that was the weirdest idea in the first place. Like, okay, isn't the whole point of a union that, like, you have these greedy capitalists that are taking all your excess labor, and aren't you supposed to be, like, you know, represented by the government and therefore wouldn't need a union in any of the public sector things? And apparently that's not the way they feel.
Well, it's a real shame, too, because if you think about it, when public sector unions, really what unions do really well is they create tension, mm-hmm. right, between management and between employees. And what they say is, hey, listen, we're going to help ease this out because the management has certain wishes, the employees have certain wishes, so we're going to have a finite resource to pull from, which is the constraint that you have to bargain on all of these wages and benefits. Unfortunately, when you get government involved, it's the unions that are helping elect the very politicians that they then sit across the table from and negotiate against. So the members and the taxpayers are unfortunately left either at the whim of these very powerful organizations, or in the case of the taxpayers, footing the bill with very little say and very little oversight, which is very concerning.
And I know one of the major objections a lot of people have to unions is that they will use their union dues to support politics that they disagree with.
Yeah.
And I mean, it sounds like when they're negotiating in the public sector, like, you don't have like a limited amount of dollars that you're actually negotiating for because it's government.
Right.
If they're underfunded, they'll just get more funding.
Yeah, taxes work like that, right? There's this huge pot of money, which is the American public. And one of the things that happens there, too, is it becomes very partisan. Mm-hmm. And, I we'd say at Americans for Fair Treatment, you know, your right to join a union is really important.
Mm-hmm.
But so is the right to leave or step away from, especially if the organization isn't representing your best interests.
Sure.
So you see roughly...
I mean, like anything, it seems like it would be ideal to have, you know, competing unions mm-hmm. within a company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that way a person can, you know, vote with their wallet and give their money to whichever union they believe best represents them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the practice that you're talking about is something called exclusive representation, where a union comes in and they earn the right to bargain on behalf of every single employee. And what that means is they can't have competition. There are no competing unions, so it gives them a tremendous amount of power.
Right.
This is something that's being challenged in the courts, but the Supreme Court just 2 weeks ago refused to hear a case challenging exclusive representation. So for the time being, unions kind of have this really powerful tool in their back pocket, which is even if you leave the union, right, you can opt out. Any government employee can opt out of the union, remove the money going from your paycheck to the union. But even if you leave, the union still gets to represent you at the bargaining table, which is crazy.
That's a big problem.
So they get to use you as a bargaining chip, whether you mm-hmm. like it or not, simply because, you know, you work for the same company or institution that this union supposedly represents.
Right. Exactly.
And is there any hope? You said the Supreme Court just declined to hear a case. Is there any? Do you know why they declined to hear it? I mean,
no,
I know the Supreme Court is full of all sorts of legal nonsense, but...
Yeah.
So, oh, this is political. We won't hear it.
Right.
Everything's political. What are you...
Yeah. You know, the Supreme Court's notoriously tight-lipped about why they declined to hear cases, so it could be that they're waiting for another case that fits a better set of facts, but it also could be the case that they're sitting around and they just, we call it counting to five, right? If they can't count to five because it's this jockeying to say, hey, could we put together a majority? And if they can't get enough people on that train, they're not going to take the case because it could set precedent. There is a silver lining, right? I'm an optimist. I'd really, really fight for that.
That's good. I mean, it's good to be optimistic.
I try, right? I'm sitting in beautiful New Hampshire. It's sunny, right? Like, I don't have a lot to complain about right now. But there's also good news for public sector employees, which is that there are union officials who are standing up. There's a guy out in California, the brand new president of SEIU 1000, and he ran on a platform that said, we are going to disaffiliate from the national union. Mm-hmm. We are going to 100% stop all political contributions. And he otherwise just said, hey, I'm going to be about my members instead of about this big political machine. So the forces
That's
come
awesome.
From inside. And then every government employee should know they also have have the power to remove the financial means of the organizations if they are not serving them. You can opt out. That's something that we do at Americans for Fair Treatment, is help people opt out, fill out a one-page form. We'll walk you through all the steps just to make sure that your rights are protected and your freedoms are protected.
Now, how many different public sector unions are there? I mean, we mentioned teachers unions. There's obviously, I'm sure there's fire unions. And,
yeah.
But what other types are there? Are there, like, city clerk unions? Or
there
any?
Are.
There are.
Yeah, judicial clerk union. There's any government employee can be unionized. So you have all of these... You have all of these unions all across the country, many of them. So I'm not even sure I can put a solid number to it.
Wow, I would not have expected there to be that many public sector unions. I mean, especially for the clerks and judicial unions and things like that.
I didn't expect it, but now that I think about it, I should have. Because, I mean, you've got money and power, and that's always going to attract people to put the work in. And, oh, look, now I get to represent so many people, whether they like it or not. And most of them are giving me money to do so. And that means I can pay this politician, so I have even more political power.
We call it the vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's absolutely vicious, and unfortunately it's the teachers and these... Because I think there's a big difference. People often conflate, like, teachers with teachers' unions. And they say, oh, well, teachers and teachers' unions are the same thing, but unfortunately... Most teachers' voices are being subdued by the union that claims to represent them. And many of them, the balance between, I'm going to say just broad strokes, conservatives and liberals, is much closer to 50-50. But the amount of political money is spent is 97% toward Democrats, which is just on its face something that tells me these organizations are not representing their members in the best way possible.
Well, I mean, a teachers' union shouldn't be donating to political campaigns in the first place. But, I mean, obviously they're going to now. AmericansForFairTreatment.org is what you represent. And you mentioned you help people opt out, which means they stop paying their dues, right? Is there some sort of infrastructure you have to help people not claim to be represented by these various unions that aren't actually representing them after they've opted out?
Yeah, so we do a few things, right? Our mission is, educating and empowering public sector employees. We actually run a community program. So one of the things I want to give unions credit for doing one thing, and that is creating a community. It's always nice to have people who support and will stand behind you. And, that idea of union solidarity. So we actually have a community. Once folks have opted out, they can be a free member with us. They get many of the same perks. We can help them get liability insurance, all of these things that a union might provide. And we can do it without all of the, moral issues that people might come across. So, yes, after folks have opted out, we have a community support, and we also refer folks to free legal help. Because, unfortunately, that's another situation that comes up. There's a lot of legal issues, so we have an array of organizations, and we'll put you in touch with the best one for free.
Awesome. That's AmericansForFairTreatment.org. Thank you so much for joining us today, Connor. That's AmericansForFairTreatment.org. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR.
IVR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.